Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
The chaplain is in today on Catholic Answers Live. This hour, we address pastoral concerns and tackle issues that have to do with the care of souls. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and if you could use some spiritual or relationship help, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. And when we say the chaplain is in, of course, we mean Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers. He's a Dominican priest and a staff apologist here, and you hear him doing the Catholic Answers Minute. And are your earphones working now, Father? We had right up to the second before we started, we were adjusting those earphones, but I'm not blasting your ears out now.
Not now, no, finally.
Okay. Well, I thought more of me is better. I mean, no?
Not in my ear, no.
So, Father, let me just give the number out again, 888-318-7884, if you have questions of a pastoral nature. If you are wanting to ask more apologetic-type questions, just hang on to them. We will get to them on another hour. This hour is the chaplaincy hour. And, Father, you have a patron's day today?
My patron saint is St. Vincent Ferrer, who was a great Dominican preacher and actually miracle worker as well. But he was also lived at the time of the Great Western Schism, where there were two popes. One was certainly valid, and the other one wasn't. And the church was split down the middle, and even the old religious orders were. We had the Dominican Order was split down the middle, and we had a Master General on each side, and we had saints on each side. Saint Vincent was backing the Pope in Avignon, and Saint Catherine of Siena was backing the Pope in Rome. And so finally the Avignon Pope died, and a friend of Vincent was elected in his place, who had promised that he would abdicate once he became Pope. And then once he was in, he didn't want to do it.
Uh-huh.
And so Vincent couldn't convince him not to. And around that time, our Lord appeared to Vincent with St. Francis and St. Dominic on each side of him, and told him to go out and preach to his people, and not one word about the fact that he was preaching, that he was backing the wrong pope. And so Vincent went out, and I think that's significant that the Lord allowed this to happen. You know, you think, why does God allow such crazy things to happen in the church, such upheaval and difficulties? But, you know, he only allows evil that a greater good may come of it. And Vincent went out and preached, and always supporting this pope. But after 20 years, he began to have serious doubts. And he really thought this man should not be. It was an evil situation, you know, having a pope, the church divided in this way. And so at a crowd where this pope was presiding, he thundered a denunciation of him and sent him fleeing for his life. He ended up on an island with one cardinal that remained faithful to him. And this paved the way for the end of the schism. And then when Vincent, he worked he was a Spaniard, but he was in southern part of France, Brittany, that's sort of where it is. Anyway, he wanted to leave and return because he knew he was getting his life was coming to an end, and he wanted to go back to his hometown, but he knew the people would never let him, so he tried to sneak out at night. Three times he tried and was unsuccessful, and he finally realized God wanted him to die there. And so he did, you know. So he had a very interesting life, and it's a good example of how one can be wrong or make mistakes, and as long as one is putting God first, everything can work to the good, because that's what God, Lord is the one who's really in charge. And and also the fact that God allows things for reasons that we don't have to understand them all, but the world seems very messy to us. And you know, why doesn't God deal with it in a neater way? But you know, there's an old Portuguese proverb that says God writes straight with crooked lines, And so it's, you know, we have to take that and recognize that the Lord knows more than we do. And so if our times seem strange and a little off kilter, that's because of original sin, and the Lord allowed that.
Yeah.
And, you know, great things happened nevertheless, or even as a result of it, really.
Well, lots of people have the sense today of, you know, of upset in the church, and that's probably true. I mean, there's a great deal of upset here and there and all that. But, I mean, St. Vincent gives you the idea, it's not important that you know how all this is going to work out. You, sure. If the Lord were to speak to you the same way he spoke to Vincent directly, share the good news is exactly what he'd tell you, too, mm-hmm. that you don't have to worry about these things. You can, in fact, be a saint without certainty on, you know, what the direction the church is going in at the moment.
Well, certainly. I mean, look at how the church started. My goodness, you know, our Lord dying, seeming a failure on the cross, and that was the beginning of everything.
Yeah. You
know? And the apostles didn't know what was going on, but it was okay. You know, it all worked out.
And now we got Holy Week coming up next week. Mm-hmm. As a priest, is that an extraordinarily busy time for you? I mean, are you—
Well, for me it isn't because I'm not in a parish, but when I was in a parish it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Confessions and the liturgy and so many things to think about. Yeah, it's always a busy day. And the day after Easter, most priests are pretty tired.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the job description. It's not like you didn't know that Holy Week was going to come around every year.
Yep, when you became
But are there lots of folks who are, I want to get my confession in before Easter, but they didn't make it to the, you know, the parish event. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of parishes have an evening for
right,
confessions.
Right, a communal penance service, yeah.
Yeah.
Most do, and at least in our country they do. Yeah, we have people coming you know, and you do what you can, you know. That happens, you know. And many times it's people who haven't been to church for a long time, but and people maybe just come twice a year, but there's always that possibility that this year something will happen that will really stick with them and they'll come back the next week and experience a conversion, you know, or a reconversion or whatever.
And Father, I'll just mention before we go to calls, you are going to do if folks are listening on Good Friday, mm-hmm. if you're commuting home or whatever on Good Friday and you tune into Catholic Answers Live, you'll be reflecting on the Passion of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. With you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm going to just be sitting here listening for the most part. Well, maybe I'll ask a question
or
two. You
got to say a word or two.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I know who's in charge when you're here, Father. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. This hour, the chaplain is in on Catholic Answers Live. We're tackling those pastoral questions you may have. I think we'll take a quick break, Nick, and then we'll come right back to those calls right here on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
What do the Pharisees, pagan emperors, the Nazis, and the Quran all have in common? All were enemies of the faith, who admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes, from biblical times through the 20th century, and draws from their words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics, one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is once again under attack. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There were also some who were hostile to him, who responded that they were descendants of Abraham and had never been enslaved. But he answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." How few in our culture recognize this truth? So many rail at the Catholic Church for pointing to the only freedom that is possible. It is so much easier to recognize sin's slavery when one is finally free of it. But when one is deep into sin, the thought of the pain of wrenching free of it keeps us in the realm of the lie, and change seems completely impossible. But conversion is possible, and the most liberating of all experiences. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Catholic Answers chaplain Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour as we push the pause button on the usual apologetics questions and tackle spiritual, emotional, family issues. Straight to calls, Father?
Well, a minute ago you said, you know who's really in charge. And I was just about to say, it ain't me. It's the Lord.
Amen to that, Father. Well, I should have known that from your preaching every morning, reminding us of that. But Leonardo in Woodbridge, Virginia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hi, thank you so much for answering my question. I'm calling in to ask your perspective on dreams. Specifically, how can we know whether specific dreams are inspired by God or are a result of you know, ourselves or something else?
Well, usually it's the latter. Usually it's us. If it's the Lord and it's extraordinary, I mean, the Lord really wants you to know it, you'll know it, you know. But usually it's not the Lord. Usually it's just us. But as I say, if the Lord is behind it, you know, you'll know it. And if you don't pick up on it the first time, you know, you'll find out that he's really, this is, you know, the Lord speaking to you. As St. Joseph knew, you know.
Or Samuel. Wasn't it Samuel? Mm-hmm. Too? They kept calling back, I was going to say, but that wasn't a phone. But, Does that help you, Leonardo?
Yeah. I mean, it says, I mean, I know that, you know, obviously in the Bible, dreams play a very important role in the stories of many saints, like St. Francis, how the Pope had a dream about sort of St. Francis sort of holding up. But initially it was sort of vague and it kind of became more clear as it went on. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that, so the way that we sort of know is, I guess, the way that we know it's inspired by God is when we instantly, you know, have like no doubts. So it's like, oh, 100%.
When you know, you'll know that it's God because God will let you know in whatever way he chooses. But you will know that this is more than just a regular dream. And he can do that. You know, people, you know, when the Lord wants us to know something and we're not getting it, he lets us know, you know, he lets us know in one way or another that he's trying to get our attention, and he knows just how to do it. And we will know that it's him.
Thank you very much for that call, Leonardo. We go now to Lily in Sherwood, Oregon, on listening on Catholic.com. Lily, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Question has to do, I'm so, the priest at my parish has asked me to read at Mass, and I've been doing so, but I became concerned because I recently saw the guidelines for my archdiocese online, and they ask that all people who are reading are over 16 and confirmed, and I'm not 16, and I'm studying to be confirmed, but I haven't been yet. Mm-hmm. So I emailed my priest, and he said that he was the one who could give me permission to read, even though the guidelines said something different. Can mm-hmm. he do that?
Sure. That's his responsibility, not yours. So if he said that you should, you're to read, then, you know, don't worry about it. It's the if anyone gets into trouble, it's him, not you. He has a certain amount of authority, and if he thinks you're, qualified, then don't worry about it.
Thank you, Father. That makes me feel so much better.
Good.
And when will you be confirmed, Lily?
This May.
Oh, well, very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for your call. We go to Ben in Sioux City, Iowa, listening on KFHC. Ben, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, Father.
Hi.
I have a question about So recently I've been undergoing some personal trials in my life, and my girlfriend told me about something relating to an exorcism. And I guess my question is, I mean, aren't exorcisms only supposed to be performed on those who are demonically possessed? I've kind of heard of two different kinds, but I guess when I think of exorcism, I think of the movies, and from what I've heard there, you know, that actually can happen. In some of the better movies, they do actually, you know, there is demonic possession that they're fair with in the movies. That's good. But I guess I'm wondering, I am, as far as I know, I'm not demonically possessed. So can I receive one?
Well, who would be giving it?
Oh, well, it would be somebody. She suggested talking to a priest, and her father is also a deacon in our diocese. So it would be
not any priest is allowed to do exorcisms. I think you'd need to talk to your priest about it, and it's unusual that an exorcism will be performed in someone where there's no suspicion of demonic possession. There can be oppression, but then that would be exorcism in the same sense. Oppression is where you're having problems with an evil spirit, but it doesn't sound like you're even having that. What is the nature of your problem?
Just stuff related to more, I don't know, suffering from stuff related to, I have anxiety and depression myself, and we obviously recognize that it's not demonic oppression or anything like that, but more, I guess, just, I don't know, I always thought that there was another kind of exorcism that wasn't, like, you know, demonic possession or anything, but like a smaller one that any priest could do. But no, maybe I'm missing.
It sounds more like, you know, the anxiety thing is a psychological condition, and maybe you need to get some help in that, you know, from a professional in that field, rather than jumping to the conclusion that it's something spiritual.
Just, I guess, in addition to that, I definitely receive help in that, mm-hmm. and it's something that, you know, I've. Obviously, that's the reason God gave it to us, so that we can get help through that. I think this is more just, I guess, kind of a, maybe not even a last resort, but just
Ben,
something to help along with everything else.
Ben, this is Cy. I just want to interrupt for a second. Is it possible that they meant the sacrament of anointing, that they meant for you to be anointed?
They might have. And this is, you know, I could ask my girlfriend's father. Maybe that's what he meant. I mean, he is a... Okay. Deacon in the church in our diocese, so he might have meant that. I could ask him for sure to clarify. Maybe it wasn't exorcism, but maybe something like with anointing or that.
Mm-hmm. You might talk to. I would talk directly to a priest about it, because priests are the ones who do give the sacrament, the anointing of the sick. So I would talk to your priest about it and see what he says.
All right.
Okay.
And thank you.
And thank you very much for that call, Ben. We go now to Lynn in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Lynn, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
Well, we're all doing okay, I think.
Okay. My question deals with trying to find a good shepherd priest to help, like, a 20-year-old relative of mine who's struggling with drugs, connections with, I don't know how to say it, drugs and all that. And when you go to, I had asked him if he would be willing to talk to a priest, and he was, but when I've tried to find a priest, but everything is like, you have to have an appointment. Like, I need to find somebody who is willing to go after the sheep a little bit more than just saying, you come to me. I mean, it just seems impossible. And I was just wondering if you had any comments about that.
Why can't your nephew go to a priest? He'd go to a doctor, wouldn't he?
Well, it's kind of like, I just thought if I could get somebody to come to him where he is, like just in a
basketball
plane.
Where is he?
Like if we went to a coffee shop or just out to eat rather than going into a formal office setting. But the priests don't seem to even be interested in trying anything. And I've only tried, I think I've tried about three priests, and I thought they were the good ones that that would really be helpful, but it just all fizzled out. And I don't know, maybe I'm asking the impossible, but it really bothers me.
Well, what you might do is contact your diocese and find out if there's any ministry to people on drugs in the diocese. That, I think, is what you ought to do. There may be a program. There may be some priests involved in that, too. Why don't you check with your diocese and see what they have to tell you?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give that a try.
Good enough. We'll be praying for him, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. 888-318-7884 is the number 888-31-TRUTH. And we are today's topic is, well, the chaplain is in. And so if you have a question of a pastoral nature, Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain here at Catholic Answers, and also, a Dominican priest and apologist himself, is happy to take those calls. I think we have time before we go to a break to go to Tony in Orange County, California, listening on Catholic.com. Tony, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, just a real quick question. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, where do we get the instruction that we must bow before receiving communion? And should we be bowing to the cup? Because by that time, we have Jesus in us already.
Well, usually I don't remember seeing very many people bow, but you can. You can bow to, they're both Christ, it's appropriate, but usually people bow at the beginning and they receive from the chalice right away. So that all comes from the general instruction of the Roman Missal. It's at the beginning of the sacramentary that the priest uses on the altar. The first pages have the general instruction there. You can also look it up on the internet, general instruction of the Roman Missal, and that gives an account of how people are to behave at Mass. And at this time, in this country, what they're supposed to do is bow. But they can genuflect if they want to. Some people do. But certainly all that's required is that they bow before they approach the priest. Is that helpful?
The question was, yes, I understand that they should bow when they receive the host, but then should they also bow a second time in front of the cup?
It's a sign of respect to do. Yes, that would be a good thing to do. I mean, priests are supposed to do that when they receive from the chalice, when they're concelebrating, when they step up, they bow and receive that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony. Matt in Hollywood, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. We may have to do your answer after the break, but I would like to give you a chance to get your question out for Father Vincent Serpa. And if he has time, we'll get to it before the break. If not, if you would just hold over, we'll get the answer then. Matt, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Sure. Thanks. The question is, ask and you shall seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you.
Right.
What about those of us who feel like we've been knocking and just knocking with bloody knuckles and we're not getting any sort of answer
or at least you're not, answer you want in any case.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be pompous and say I should deserve an answer. I just, I don't know what the answer is or even if it is of God.
Okay. Well, the thing is, it takes faith to ask for what we need. And the Lord, when we ask, it's always with the intention that if He doesn't give us what we ask for, we trust that however He responds is the best thing. That we acknowledge His love for us, and our concern is that we do whatever He wants of us. And that means that we have to wait a while. We'll wait as long as He wants us to. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Please pray for the Hollywood actors out here.
Will do.
Please.
Will do.
We will indeed, Matt, and we'll take a quick break and be back with more of The Chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa, taking your questions of a pastoral nature today. 888-318-7884 is the number. And we'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
It's been called a crash course in salvation history, the perfect addition to CCD and RCIA reading lists. Catholic Answers' new graphic novel, The Big Picture, has set the Catholic book world on fire with its unique and innovative blend of apologetics and entertainment. With high-quality, full-color illustrations and a storyline that's easy to follow, The Big Picture reveals a story full of passion, suspense, adventure, and hope, engaging the reader immediately. As our heroes come face to face with the drama and mystery of God's plan for the salvation of the world, it gets readers talking and thinking, captivating and entertaining them with eternal truths presented in a non-threatening way. Get your friends and family talking about things that matter. Order your copy of The Big Picture today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thank you very much for being with us today. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain here at Catholic Answers, is ready to take your calls of a pastoral nature as we are addressing pastoral chaplainy type questions. I don't know if chaplainy is a word. I might have just made that up. Chaplainish words.
Well, that one's a word. That one's
that's a real word. Yeah, no, thanks, Father. I think. We're calling it a word for today.
Right.
We go then to Jay in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Jay, what's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Hi. We were reading through some of St. Faustina's writings, mm-hmm. and she says that pride is the root of sensitivity and anxiety. And I'm just wondering, as someone who's struggled with that and been told that it's low esteem, how do you tell the difference?
Well, pride. Every sin is a sin of pride because we put ourselves before God. Self-esteem doesn't mean that we're putting ourselves before God. It means that we, and also, pride is a moral statement. Self-esteem is a psychological one, and there are people who think very little of themselves, and no amount of assuring them that they have value gets through because they can't shake this. And that's a psychological problem. But people who are proud are focused on themselves. And, as I look at the two of them, one is low self-esteem, the other one is pride. I was thinking that it was low self-esteem and lack of pride. There's a good kind of pride that one can have, where one takes delight in the fact that one is the product of a loving, good God, and so that God made us in image and His image and likeness, and so we have goodness in us, and we can never change that, no matter how badly we perform. But the sinful pride is the putting ourselves before God, which is dishonest for one thing, and is a matter of lack of gratitude to a God who gives us everything, and then to demean Him by not acknowledging His greatness. So having I think what you're really asking is, what is the difference between low self-esteem and natural self-esteem? Is that what you're is that what you're trying to say? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, no, I'm trying. I guess I'm trying to figure out what my problem has been.
Ah, okay.
If that makes sense, and I was surprised to read that. I'd never heard it put like that before.
Well, pride can cause anxiety. It doesn't mean that one has any kind of psychological problem. Anxieties don't always result from psychological issues. One can have anxiety because one is worried about something, or one is afraid of something. To focus on ourselves instead of God, to be prideful in a sinful way, is going to cause anxiety. Certainly isn't going to cause happiness, because it goes against the very nature of who we are. We know that we have value because God loves us. And if we try to have value just because of thinking highly of ourselves and disregarding God, that can't bring happiness. That can't certainly bring true happiness. And it can cause anxiety. But that's a different kind of anxiety than the anxiety one would receive from someone who is very, very low, is very depressed, and can't shake themselves from this feeling of unworthiness, of just not being worth being alive. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes.
Okay. So anyway, I'll pray that you delight in the fact that you exist and that you're good stuff because God made you. Okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Jay. 888-318-7884 is the number here at Catholic Answers Live. And the chaplain is in today. If you have a question of a pastoral nature, we're very happy to take those questions. 888-318-7884. We go now to Rod in San Diego, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Rod, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Father Vince, but before I ask, I would like to let you know that I just started practicing my Catholic faith, and I've learned that being gay is not a sin, but engaging in homosexual activities is a sin. And I have a friend who does, and he's inviting me to one of his shows, but I'm not sure if that's
Rod, I think we missed it. You have a friend who does what?
Drag shows.
He's
a cross-dresser.
Yep.
He dressed like a woman, but he's a man. So.
Okay.
Is that something that it's okay to attend to?
Do you really think that supporting him in this is doing him a good turn? Do you really think that's something that he really needs? Does he need to be encouraged in that whole scene?
I'm not sure what his reason for doing that, but if you can just enlighten me and let me know if what he's doing is a sin or not.
Well, it comes from a kind of sinful way of looking at life, certainly, you know, he needs to know that you're a friend and that you care about him. But I'm not sure that going to that kind of display is helping anybody, including your friend. And you can explain to him why you don't go, because he's worth more than that. And that's kind of, you know, that's not who he really is. Does that help?
Well, even though he's not a Catholic, I mean, I know he kind of portrays himself as Christian, but I don't know if, I guess,
well, why
I guess
don't,
you're right.
This could be a point where you could discuss it. You know, what does it mean to him to be a Christian? And I don't mean that you'd, you know, giving him a bad time or putting him down in any way, but in a loving way, showing him that there's so much more to life because of who Jesus is, and because, you know, he's a follower of Jesus.
Okay, Jay?
Okay.
Good enough.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that call, Jay. We go now to Well, I'm stuck here. Well, we go to Helen in, I got stuck, Father. I don't, is the chaplain supposed to laugh at people? I don't know. Helen in Kearney, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Radio, Spirit Catholic Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
If I'm told somebody that I'm going to pray
Helen, we need to, we just can't hear you. Can you talk more directly into the phone in some way?
Okay, if I have told somebody that I'm going to pray for them, and let's say I'm going to pray the rosary, and then somebody else asked me to pray for them also, can I include them in that same rosary, or should I actually say another one?
Oh, you can include as many people in the rosary as you want. I mean, there's no limit. You know, God can handle it, and the rosary can handle it, and you can handle it, so it's okay.
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 Great. Thanks.
Good night. You're welcome.
Thank you, Helen. You did a lot better than I did on that call, Helen. Nice work. Father, folks watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, we say hello to them and thank you for being with us on those venues. And Joseph on Facebook Live writes the following question. My 9-year-old son wants to know why we say, we dare to say before the Our Father.
Okay. Well, it means that we are bold enough to say we want to say this prayer well and openly because it is such an honor to say, and we want the world to know that what we're saying matters the most to us, that God is truly our Father, and so we're bold about it. We dare to say it. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense.
Oh,
to me,
he's not on. That's right.
That was he.
Okay. Well, that's how I see it. Yeah, that's right.
And notice how I'm not laughing, Father.
Well,
oh, now I am. Andy in Buffalo, New York, listening on 101.7 FM. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question,
Father? What do we do when we feel that God doesn't want us?
Why do you think God doesn't want you?
Because I don't have a place in the church. I came back to the church about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and it's been a constant struggle.
Why is that? Why has it been a constant struggle?
Because it seems like nothing that I do in the church is correct, that I just don't fit in with the church, what the church needs, wants. I can't be what the church wants me to be. I don't fit into a parish. I don't fit into, I'm too much of an introvert to be in even the lay associations. I just, if the church on earth doesn't want me, why would God want me?
Well, why do you think the church doesn't want you? Just because you're an introvert. There are a lot of introverts that are in the church. I mean, God made you in His image and likeness. You know, every human being bears a resemblance to God, whether they want to or not. You know, the other day I was quoting from a poem by a British, an English poet, Gerald Manley Hopkins, and he refers to human beings as immortal diamonds, and we are that. We forget it, but we are, every single one of us. God doesn't make junk when He makes human beings. We're the highest thing here on earth to God, next to God. So don't sell yourself short. The Lord shed His blood for you because He considered you worth it, and he made you worth it. So you indeed have a place. And the fact that you're shy or that you are an introvert doesn't keep you from becoming a saint. There are many introverted saints, many saints who are not Mr. or Miss Personality, but they loved God and they put Him before all else in their lives. And their lives were replete with meaning, not because of them, but because of God. They belong to Him. And so do you. So you have a place. And you have the honor of knowing Jesus Christ. And of being able to receive him in the holiest of communions. You need to appreciate that fact, that you know, no matter how alone you feel, you're never alone because the Lord is always there. And if you still feel alone, go and sit before the tabernacle or kneel before the tabernacle. Recognize that, you know, that you're before royalty. You're before God himself. And he loves you. He wants you there. So you do belong. You belong. God wants you. He was willing to suffer and die for you. And the church wants you as well.
Is that helpful to you, Andy?
Not really. I go to adoration every week,
mm-hmm.
and try to talk to God. And? Honestly, as I told one of the priests I know this week, I think that I'm one of the walking damned already.
There is no such thing. Really, there is no such thing as walking damned. That's not a church. That's a secular term, not a church term. No. You're made in God's image and likeness, and you're capable of receiving grace, and you have, or you wouldn't even be baptized. Baptism brings with it sanctifying grace, which gives you a supernatural leg up. I mean, it takes you to a level that's supernatural. You know that you could never attain on your own. You need to know more fully what we believe as Catholics about who we are. The fact that you feel down doesn't mean that you are down. You are not your feelings. Your feelings are things we have. They're not who we are. That's something our culture tells us, but that's not what we believe as Catholics. You know, we can go against our feelings. The martyrs went against their feelings. They were willing to die because they loved the Lord, not because they felt good. They felt awful. It was painful. But they chose God because they loved him. They realized how much he loved them. Keep your attention on the Lord and you'll be fine.
Andy, we have to take a quick break. Will you hang on the line? Just don't go away. Just hang on the line while we go to this break. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour. Father Vincent is the chaplain here at Catholic Answers. And the chaplain is in this hour. We're taking just pastoral questions for the duration of this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number, and we will be right back.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Today we live in an age of spiritual crisis. We all have friends and loved ones who don't practice their Catholic faith, who are torn by doubts, or who have left the faith altogether. So often at Catholic Answers, we get asked to recommend a book to help people like this. There are lots of good books that address specific issues a person may have, but very few are designed to be put into the hands of such a person, are short and easy to read, and cover a wide variety of reasons for the Catholic faith and its teaching. That's why we're publishing Trent Horn's new book, Why We're Catholic. In a series of brief chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe anything at all, and proceeding to cover science, the existence of God, the arguments for Jesus, and the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. We want Why We're Catholic to be that book, that one general book you can hand out to someone as a starting point for helping them find their way back to the church and to God. We even hope to distribute cases of the book in churches so people can take copies home to give to their friends and loved ones. To make your donation and get a free copy of Why We're Catholic, visit Catholic.com and click the Why We're Catholic banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why We're Catholic banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com. CatholicAnswers.com to learn more.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN News and various other places, including the National Catholic Register, will be here to talk with us about the church in the news. If you have any questions about how the church is covered, or maybe you have some complaints about how the church is covered in the media, Dr. Matthew Bunsen is the perfect guy to talk about it. We are right now in the midst of an hour with the chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa, and we go to Chris in Bakersfield, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on, Chris, with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hi. I just have a question. I just came into the church last Easter, and I planned a trip. I wanted to take my mom and my brother just to go on a trip, like to Vegas with my wife, and just spend some time together. And when I mentioned that, though, she got kind of happy because she thought, hey, maybe this would take the time. She's going to go get married in one of those chapels in Vegas with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like, well, that's not really why we're going there. But it also leads to the question, like, can I support? It's not a sacramental marriage, I understand. Right. But how do I know I can't, like, support that marriage.
Well, as non-Catholics, the church would recognize the validity of their marriage because they're not Catholics. They're not even Christians. The church acknowledges it not certainly would be sacramental, but it would be a valid marriage, and there'd be no reason why you couldn't attend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that answers that question. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chris, and welcome home.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Love it here.
We go now to John in San Diego, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. John, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes, my question was how the Father would respond to the lay people, at least some lay people a lot of lay people that I've spoken to, that feel that the bishops and even the Pope are not strong enough or take a strong enough stance to gay marriage within the church.
Well, why do you have to respond at all? I mean, if that's their opinion, that's their opinion. I don't understand why. What you're asking?
Well, I mean, to a lay person, is a huge concern that we're not taking a strong enough stance to combat this. It's a real to me. It seems like it's a real evil.
So you're one of the persons that think that they're not strong enough on the gay marriage issue. Is that what it is? So you're not responding to other people who are saying that. You're one of those people yourself. Is that it?
Yes, I'm among a community of lay people.
Well, I would first of all pray for the bishops, pray for the Pope, pray for everyone involved. We were talking earlier about a time in which things are, when there were two popes and the church was in a mess and it was confusing and people were saying, well, why does God allow this? And put your trust in the Lord. Recognize that He's the one. It's His church, and we're His people. And ask the Lord for guidance, and trust that He will answer your prayer and where He chooses. And meanwhile, ask the Lord to keep you faithful to the teachings of the church. And pray for everyone involved. That's would be the most practical thing to do in this situation.
Thank you very much, John, for that call. I'm just kind of moving quickly here, Father, because I want to get as many as I can in before the top of the hour. Anonymous. Oh, another call from San Diego. Anonymous in San Diego, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. What's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Has there been or is there a saint that has committed an abortion and overcame it and became a saint?
I suspect anybody who's in heaven is a saint. They're not all canonized, but they're all saints, and I suspect that there are many who are, who have had abortions and are in heaven. But I do know that one person who has been considered a possibility for canonization someday is an American by the name of Dorothy Day. She had an abortion and eventually became a Catholic, started the Catholic Worker Movement, and as I say, she one day could be considered a saint. So, you know, when people are truly sorry, God forgives them and they can be great saints. You know, there have been some, I mean, Saint Paul was certainly involved in the stoning of Saint Stephen. That's taking of innocent life if there ever was one. And Saint Paul is a great saint, you know. All of us are capable of being saints. We're designed for that. We're wired for it, if you will. Sin can't stop us so long as we're willing to repent. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Anonymous. We go now to another Anonymous listening on the mighty 930 a.m. in Los Angeles, Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi. This past weekend, I spent some time with my old high school friends. We all attended Catholic high school and grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
We're now 60 years old. And some of us were talking about having cosmetic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, you guys, remember, that's one of the seven deadly sins. You know, and it's like, oh, well, oh, yeah, okay, well. But then they turned the tables on me and they said, well, hey, you're a hairstylist. You are basically taking care of those people's vanity needs. And I thought, yeah, where do you draw the line for the sin of vanity?
Well, getting your hair fixed is not necessarily an act of vanity if you want to look okay. But if one were to sin from vanity, it would be the person who's getting the hair done, not necessarily the hairstylist. You're there, you're making a living, you know, you're fixing their hair according to what they want. If they're putting too much attention on their hair, that is their choice, not yours. So hairstylists, are a valid occupation, you know, making women look nice. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when people get so full of themselves that nothing else matters as much. Then that's a very deadly sin, yeah.
When does it become a sin when we ourselves want to get our hair done or hair cut?
Nothing wrong with getting your hair done. You know, it's when it becomes more important to you than other things that matter more, like you know, God. When how you look is all you think about, then I'd say a lot of red flags going off there. You know. Wanting to look neat and nice in a modest way is an appropriate thing, you know. Overdoing it, and you know when people are overdoing it, that's what it is. It's overdoing it. It's giving it too much attention.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. You can continue being a hairstylist. You go. But I'm a little anxious, though, Father, because, you know, you can't look like this just rolling out of bed. I got to put a lot of work into this.
Is that right?
Yeah, really. Wow. I'm wondering now, am I putting too much work into it?
We'll have to talk about that. I'll talk to you later.
You don't seem to think I've fallen into sinfulness. Can we have your blessing, Father, before the end of the show?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. You don't take me seriously. This could be sinful to look this
good. I wonder why.
Father Vincent Serpa, thank you very much for being with us. And don't forget, on Good Friday, it won't be on all the stations because some stations will be preempted for other programming, but on many stations you'll be able to hear us on Friday at this hour.
Discussing
the Passion of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And next hour, Matthew Bunsen will be here. We're doing the Church in the News. If you have questions about the Church in the News or you want to make a comment about the Church's representation in the news, we're happy to take those calls. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.